Good afternoon, Nevada shooters. How the hell are you? Welcome back to another edition of Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. Good afternoon, Ben. Probably screws me up.
You know how awesome it is? We're at the end of this week, and this will be the most fun hour all week, I'm telling you.
It will. I was driving in here this morning. I need this hour. I do. I need a little levity, even though we've got kind of a heavy subject to talk, that I want to talk about today, but I need some levity, so you better clown it up.
Well,
get your clown face
on. We do
on.
Have heavy subject matter, but you know what? Spending time with you is always awesome, and spending...
You liar.
No, I'm serious. We haven't... You know what? Usually you and I see each other, what, two or three times a week?
Yeah, two or three times a week.
In the last 2 weeks, I think I've seen you just recording the show.
Yeah, it's been... Well, yeah, we've had stuff going on. Life happens, and speed bumps in life
right.
come up, and so we've both experienced that this week.
We're not just co-hosts. We're also friends outside of here, so...
We are, as far as everybody else is concerned. I've never liked you. I can say that now.
All right. That's cool. We have a lot of fun together.
I love you. How many times when you call me, do you go, you never call me anymore. You don't love me.
You don't write me. You don't call me.
I know. You don't write. You don't call. You don't buy me pretty things anymore.
I know. It was nice to hear your voice last night.
Well, I was a little worried about you.
I know.
I hadn't heard from you. I want to make sure everything was... I knew things... I know you got stuff going on.
Yeah.
I know, you know, as we all do. But I knew you were having a rough week, and I text you, and all I hear is... crickets and
it's been challenging. So Monday it was like the super trifecta. You know, I'm dealing with the car still,
right?
You know, and I know nobody cares about that, but then, you know, my daughter went to the doctor's office that morning and they're concerned about her hearing and talking about hearing aids, and that really stresses me out.
It's tough when your kids are sick. Olivia, you know, Olivia's had asthma for, well, forever, and she's been going through an inhaler. One albuterol inhaler every 2 to 4 weeks, empty.
I'm not a doctor, but that sounds like a lot.
It's insane amount of albuterol. So we took her to a different doctor and took her to a pediatrician yesterday who's been, you know, been our ped for a long time, just not Olivia's. And he said her asthma is way mismanaged. He goes, that is insane that she's going through that much albuterol. Shouldn't be happening.
Second opinions are good.
Yeah, so he's got her on a new program. Hopefully we're going to get it under control. You know, because she plays softball and she's got a... You know, she's got to perform.
Right.
So she's in her second season of softball.
Well, and then somebody backed into my wife's car on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's
so it was like
good.
That was like the whole week. So now I'm glad we're here and all that stuff's kind of behind us. And
yeah, hopefully it's behind us.
For the most part.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, there's some things that I will talk about. Usually we come in and we've got a ton of stuff in the news. And I'm going to trust you've got some things you want to pull up and we're going to talk about.
I've got a few stuff.
Okay, cool. Because we did not prep for this show. This is, listen, everybody, if you're listening right now, this is totally unrehearsed. This is about as real as radio gets here.
We have good headlines this week, though. We have ATF declares the soda can launcher as an NFA item.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's cool.
I almost bought one of those through LAPoliceGear.com.
Yeah.
Because they had them like on clearance for like $300 or some crazy cheap thing. You know, that'd be fun to go out to the range.
Yeah, but what do you use as a propellant? I don't even know how those work.
I think you got to do a blank, like a 223 blank.
Get one because I have a box of blanks.
Awesome. Well, if I can buy one now that they've determined it's an NFA item.
Why? So you can launch a tennis ball? Who cares?
A soda can.
We used to make them as kids. We made mortars out of soup cans. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to make one, but we'd make mortars out of soup cans, drop a tennis ball in there, throw some lighter fluid in the bottom of it, strike a match to it, dunk. We'd launch a tennis ball all the way down the end of the block.
Those were good old days.
We made bottle rocket bazookas. Whatever happened in those days?
Potato guns. That's what we did.
Oh, my potato guns. That is the most bitchin' thing ever invented on the internet is a potato gun. When you can launch a 6-ounce Idaho spud at somebody at about 400 feet per second, that's a good time right there.
Are we encouraging delinquent behavior on the air?
I take no responsibility for anybody's delinquent behavior.
Then we've got last gun shop in San Francisco confirms closure.
What?
We'll talk a little bit more about that.
I didn't hear about that.
We predicted that.
We did, remember?
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about that? You did. You said. That was you. You said, I predict this is going to put them under.
Then we've got a 72-year-old man tied up in home invasion, gets free, grabs his gun, and... We'll talk about the rest.
Oh, yay.
I also want to talk a little bit about the blind fight. It's not a fight. It was the attack on a blind kid. And I want to, you know, Armed Nevada Radio, I kind of think we also talk about self-defense type things. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that just because it highlights some of the mentalities, I think, that are alive and well in our culture. And then going along with that, guns stolen from concealed weapons permit holder during Walmart bathroom assault. So I want to talk about that.
Guy got jacked in the bathroom at Walmart and the guy took his gun?
Yeah. We need to talk about that for a couple of different reasons. I think we need to talk about it for situational awareness, for gun retention.
My question is, and you want to discuss this, but here's a prequel to that. How did the guy know that the victim, in this case, had a concealed weapon if it was concealed, concealed?
That's part of what we need to discuss.
Well, A, was it not concealed in open carry? B, was he imprinting? I mean, what was he wearing?
His favorite Star Wars t-shirt from the 70s?
Yeah,
or 80s?
Yeah, was he wearing his kid's t-shirt? Was it, you know, like a saran wrap? I mean,
I don't know. We'll talk about it because some of it is the way he was carrying, I think, is good conversation for how we retain our firearm in a confrontation.
Hugely important. And one of the things that I want to talk about, something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, is training mindset. I want to talk about the differences between going out and, you know, if you have a training regimen and you're going to go out there to shoot, it's one thing to go out there and plink and shoot at tin cans and bottles and cans of whipped cream and stuff that explodes and TV sets and all that garbage. Number one, quit doing it. But if that's what you do, don't call that training because it's not.
Right.
And I have students, I shoot all the time. Really, what do you do? Tell me a little bit about your training. Oh, we go out shooting cans. That's not training.
No.
So I want to talk about the difference between that and what training is. And not only that, but I want to talk about mindset. And this comes on the heels of I'll come right out and say it. This comes on the heels of Deputy Carl Howell's death, and I know some information, but out of respect for his, you know, for everybody involved, the deputies involved, the investigation, of course, I'm not going to say anything. And don't ask me. Don't PM me on Facebook. Hey, what happened? I'm not going to tell you. He died a hero, and that's all I'll say. But I want to talk about that mindset, because if you don't have that mindset, that warrior mindset, that fire in your heart, and to coin a phrase that Boone Cutler uses all the time, you know, if you're not going to go into it with that mindset that you're a son of Sparta, you know what? At the risk of sounding like I'm going to bash your Second Amendment rights, I'm going to say it. If that's your mindset, don't carry.
No, well, I think it goes beyond Second Amendment because I think people can support the Second Amendment and maybe not be warriors, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think maybe what you're getting at is we are approaching a world where concealed carriers, I don't think they deal with the same things as law enforcement officers, mm-hmm. but they're going to be thrust into potentially the same situations.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you're going to be asked to defend the weak, defend the defenseless, or defend your family, and you have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that you may not come back from that confrontation alive, or that you may be willing to give your life for somebody else.
Concealed carriers have a tremendous responsibility far above and beyond the normal average everyday citizen that is not carrying. You're not carrying that gun because it's cool. You're not carrying it because it makes you feel powerful. Because you know what? Carrying a gun does not make you a gunfighter any more than putting a scalpel in your pocket makes you a pediatric brain surgeon.
Well, and the funny thing is, I had a conversation this week with somebody that it's actually the opposite. When you carry a gun, you can't be cool. You can't be that guy, right?
Right.
Because when you are carrying a gun, you have to de-escalate, mm-hmm. and attempt to avoid conflict until there is no other option or yep. somebody's life is in danger.
Well, absolutely. And that's going to be an issue come your potential criminal trial or your guaranteed civil hearing.
Right.
They're going to want to know, what did you do to avoid it? What did you do to de-escalate it before you put your finger on the trigger and pop somebody a new bunghole in their forehead?
Well, the discussion came from somebody cut me off this week in traffic, and I was with somebody from the office, and they said, "Why are you not blowing up about that? You know, that he was totally in the wrong." And I said, "You know what? It's not worth it to get into a conflict on the road or in a parking lot mm-hmm. after the fact or a road rage incident, and then for my life to feel like de-escalation, if it's not something where somebody's life is in danger, de-escalate."
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that we need to turn into pacifists. No way. you know, I'm not going to turn and run from defending my family or defending somebody else that can't defend themselves. But we should talk about this more in the next segment.
We will. Oh, for sure. We're going to talk about this. We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. All right, you're back. Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Thank God it's cooling off, too.
Well, the only thing I don't like about that is then the day's starting to be shorter. And
I like that.
I just really like summer.
You know what? I do, too. I love summer here in Reno, but now that it's getting to be fall and the days are getting short, I love this time of year when it starts to get crisp out.
But I hate winter.
Well, we've got the night shoot coming up October 3rd, which means when we get out there at 8 p.m., is a go now.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect. So
I'm going to be in Idaho, though.
Oh,
I'm going to miss
right.
another
You're
one.
I'm not going to be there. Yeah, doggone you. All right, so we were talking about mindset and about concealed carry, you know, which is, Ben, I think you would agree, it's a lifestyle.
Yep.
But it's also, I said before, it's a tremendous responsibility.
Lifestyle. So for those that maybe are just tuning in, getting into the concealed carry, what do we mean by lifestyle? Because people, when I say that, people always go, what?
Well, the lifestyle, number one, it's a way you carry the weapon. It's a way you carry yourself when you carry a weapon.
Right.
You know, how do you go through your daily routine? You know, do you have your face buried? Are you in your cell phone? Are you aware of your surroundings while you're armed? Because look, that gun's not there for a showpiece.
Right.
And I can tell you, over the course of my career, of the hundreds of people that I pointed my gun at in my career, I can probably count on both hands the number of them that, honest to God, thought I was about to pull the trigger and kill them.
Yeah.
The rest of them, they don't really think you're going to shoot them. You're not going to shoot me. Go ahead, cop. You know, one of those things. So you have to understand that weapon is a tool. It's your mind that's the weapon. Your mind is the weapon. The firearm on your hip, that's just a tool. It's an extension of your mind.
And it's not just mindset. I mean, you think about everything behavior-wise that we alter to accommodate what we do and what we carry. I mean, you think about, I got up this morning, the belt that I wear is purposely chosen because of the gun that I carry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the holsters were purposely, I had them purposely made based on what I, my training and the things that I wanted in that holster. The clothes that I wear, I have to buy my pants usually a size bigger so that I can tuck that holster and then the extra magazine. On top of some of the other gear that I carry. I mean, you think about when I'm in the car, you know, there's some cars I get into where I've got to take the holster and the gun out and place it between, let's say, my leg and the center console so I can get at it faster. I mean, I think it's a conscious decision in just about every way, you know, when we use public restrooms.
We're going to talk about that here later on in the show, too.
You know, you and I, if we have to, you know, go and drop our shorts, got to be careful how you do that.
That happens to me probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 times a day. I don't.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but if you're concealed carrying, you don't just go into a stall and drop your shorts, right?
No.
Because that gun is going to be right there on the floor.
Yep. The gun out. You set it on the bolt, on the tank.
Don't forget it.
Yeah, don't forget it.
Or, you know, dressing rooms. I'm thinking of, let's say a Nevada beach in Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to figure out if you're hanging out with your family and let's say you're not wearing a pair of, you know, you consider these, when you're in this lifestyle and you're being serious about being ready to encounter a threat wherever you're at, and it's not paranoia, it's just being ready, how do you make sure that you're ready?
Right. How do you carry that firearm?
Right.
Carrying it, though, is once you've done that and you've succeeded in properly carrying that weapon, your mind has to be in the game. You have to be willing, and you were right, you said something very important earlier about the individual shooter is probably not going to find themselves ever in the situation that Deputy Howell or any of the other 750,000 law enforcement officers in this country find themselves in.
I hope not.
But
it seems like more and more
But it can happen.
Are.
And I'll tell you what. You know what? 2 days ago, I pulled my gun.
Oh.
I was at the Maverick gas station at Charlin's and Rob Drive filling up. I had just picked my daughter up from school. She was in the front seat of my truck.
Okay.
My 2-year-old was in the back. Sophie was in the back in the car seat. And there's a friggin' Raper van with Oregon plates. Something that had been spray painted.
Free candy on the side?
No. It said, what did it say on the side? It said, share a hug and a smile.
Yeah.
And it was spray painted orange, and there's these two yutzos in this van. I mean, and I looked at him, and my spidey senses were off the charts.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And the one guy comes up, and I'm behind my door. I've got my door is covered, and the gas pump is behind me. So I don't have – and to my left – my right is my truck. To my left is a gas pump.
You don't have a lot of good cover.
I don't have a lot of good – well, I got no room to retreat.
Right.
The only cover I've got is that door post. That's about it, if I can get up in the truck.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm in a kill zone. My kids are in a kill zone. This guy comes walking up to me. He's got a gas can in his hand. I'm telling you, I'm looking at this guy going, you know what? I know you've got a warrant.
Yeah.
You have got a warrant. I guarantee it. I know it in my heart. You got a warrant.
Oh.
Comes up to me and he wants to know if I got a couple extra bucks for gas. I'm like, nah, dude, I don't. He goes to the next person. And at this point, my gun is still holstered. He goes to the next person. You're going to need money for gas? No. Goes to the next person. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Finally, he starts getting really agitated. And I can see him mouthing the F word every time he goes to somebody. Then he walks by. He looks at me, walks past me, and he gives me the death stare, walks past me, goes back to the van, puts the gas can in the van, reaches in the driver's seat, or the passenger seat, rather, and starts coming out. And I had the gun out, and I turned to my daughter, Olivia. I said, get down. And I had my gun out, and this guy starts walking back towards my truck, and then he takes a right-hand turn and starts walking the parking lot. And I swear to God,
wow,
I had my gun out. I had it behind the door,
yeah.
And I was this far. Well, you can't see in the radio. I was this close to coming up over that open window and putting two in this guy's chest.
Scary?
Yep.
Wow.
It can happen anywhere at any time.
And quickly.
And listen. It's not just your own life we're talking about defending. If you've got a family member that's down, I don't think there's anybody listening right now, and I know I can say the same thing about you. If you've got a family member down, that you would run through the gates of hell
and back
and fight every demon to get to your family and get them out of there, wouldn't you?
Yep.
We should do the same thing with our fellow man. We have a responsibility as concealed carriers, greater responsibility than the average citizen. If you're in a situation where you can render help and save a life, if you can do it and you can do it without putting other lives at risk, then for God's sake, courage is being afraid but doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And when you don't, and for those of you that know me, that know what I'm talking about here, wink, wink, for those of you that don't, get up off your ass and run to a person that's down and get them out and do something, something. I don't care what it is. Do something to save that person. If you don't, then you know what? Stop doing what you're doing. Stop caring. Don't do it, because that gun is not going to – it's going to put you in more danger than anybody else.
Yeah. Interesting that you say that, and I personally would agree with you. I don't know that I could sit by and watch someone else be victimized. But I have been through a concealed carry course with another instructor in town who advocates the opposite. He advocates that, you know, as a concealed carrier, your responsibility is you and your family, and that's it.
Negative. My guy's dead wrong.
It's an interesting discussion point, and I think you have to ask yourself, if you're carrying, what are your rules of engagement?
Let me ask you this, okay? This is what I would address to that instructor. What if it was your wife? Let you play that instructor for a moment.
Okay? All right.
So Ben, you're this jackass instructor. let me ask you this, instructor.
Okay.
What if it's your wife or your child that is down and wounded in an active shooter, and somebody with a concealed firearm can get to them? Would you want them to, or would you want them to say, you know what, they're not my family, I don't have to worry about them, and walk away? God, that is the worst advice ever.
Well, of course, I would say I would hope my family would get help from somebody. You know, but I can understand other people's attitudes that I'm there to get myself out for my family. I understand both points, but you and I think, are of a similar mindset that we can't just stand back and watch someone be victimized.
No, we can't. I don't know.
The point of our last two segments is, if you're carrying a firearm, are you willing to accept that you may not come back from
a
fight?
Listen, concealed carriers, Nevada shooters, if you're carrying a concealed firearm, I want you to think about it and ask yourself right now in this closing minute before we go to break, what are you willing to do? honestly, be honest about it. What are you willing to do?
What cost are you willing to pay?
What cost are you willing to pay to save your life, to save the lives of your family, or to save the life of your fellow man? What are you willing to do? And honestly, if you are not willing to take the steps that are necessary, then rethink your lifestyle. And that's where I'm going to leave it.
Rethink your training too.
Yep. Or rethink your training, but definitely rethink your lifestyle. And you know what? And that's where I'm going to leave that at. I think that's a good time to go to a break, right?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Let's take us out of here. We'll be right back after this break. Ben Gary, Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. And we're back. Armed Nevada Radio. You're listening to Ben and Gary. I was a little late on the uptake there.
A little bit.
Sean's porting at me. Go, you ready? I'm like sitting here chatting away. I don't even have my headphones on. Hey, I'm ready now.
I'm going to go off script a little bit because I just remembered something on the break.
Make it so.
Did you happen to see? All right. So there's this group. I think they're insane. There's this group of people that dress up like clowns and do these videos where they look like they're in the, you know, they've killed somebody or they're.
You're talking about the ICP? Insane Clown Posse?
No. This is like a YouTube prank group or whatever. I wish I should have pulled it out.
Oh, yeah. And they dress up like evil clowns.
Right. And traditionally they've done it in places where guns are not the norm. So like they'll do it in New York or they'll do it somewhere in Europe. And they published a video from Vegas where they did this in Vegas. And the first cut scene is they're at a gas station. And it's a legit gas station, it looks like. Lady pulls up. She gets out. She goes to inside to pay. She walks inside. There's nobody. She looks around. There's nobody behind the counter. And there's a clown with an axe down one aisle. There's a clown with some other weapon on down another aisle behind her. She hasn't seen him yet. And then there's a what looks like a dead body splayed out on one of the aisles.
Oh, my God.
Well, so she's looking for someone. She goes down to the end of this convenience store, sees the dead body, then sees the clowns, and they start closing in on her. And I'm thinking, these people have a death wish, okay? Because you're in Vegas, right? Concealed carry. Wow. And you know what? In that situation, I would be dead to rights to pull my firearm.
Oh, sure you
would. Because as far as I know, I see a dead body. I see two guys dressed as clowns carrying weapons. I would feel like my life is in danger.
It's a Tom Cruise from Collateral scene right there, brother. I'm telling you.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys, what are they thinking?
Yep. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm in that position, they've got weapons and they're within 30 feet.
And there's somebody bloody on the floor already, guns are coming out.
Oh, I'm double tapping one guy in the chest. The next guy's getting one right in the face. And then they say, whoa, it's just a game.
I question the sanity of these people, though.
I've seen those videos.
But as a second opinion, I mean, the way I've described this convenience store, I mean, there's no choice, right?
Oh, in Vegas? Are you kidding me?
Well, but from my perspective, if you walked into a convenience store like that and you see what this lady's seeing, I wouldn't feel like I had any other choice.
I absolutely agree with you.
And the way they had
deadly force is absolutely warranted.
And the way
they
had her cornered in the convenience store,
She's got no avenue of retreat.
Not easily, because her distance to the door is much farther than there's a clown between her and.
Right.
And then the other scenario they posted was in a hotel somewhere in Vegas. There's another one of these creepy clowns standing there in the hallway with a sledgehammer chasing people.
That one too.
You know, once again, a sledgehammer is a deadly weapon.
Can you imagine if that happened to you or I when we're with our families somewhere? Can you imagine the results?
Well, but then the thing that pisses me off is, let's say it's me or let's say it's you. We draw. And especially in the one where the convenience store, where there's not a lot of ground to be cleared, and I fire, and let's say I kill someone, then I then get to live the rest of my life knowing that I shot someone that was playing a prank.
Let me stop you right there, and I'll tell you something. Yeah, you get to live the rest of your life. And you know what? Good for you.
Well, I know.
You did what you had to do.
And I would know that, but that sucks, though.
Oh, sure.
Putting
it sucks.
People in that situation where
sure,
if something happens, then they know they killed somebody that was playing a joke.
Yep.
That's a cheap thrill.
On their end.
Right.
Right. Well, and then they're the next big YouTube star posthumously. Congratulations.
And then the other one. All right, check this out. This other one. is a broken down ambulance somewhere in some abandoned parking lot in a bad part of Vegas. And people are like walking up wanting to see, hey, what's going on with this ambulance? And then the clowns run out with weapons at them through this parking lot.
Good heavens.
I mean, so now you're luring people in, good Samaritans that are trying to help or wanting to see what happened. What? I don't know. I just, what a bunch of idiots.
I've seen those. I think less of them happen here in the States. I've seen a few that were filmed here in the States, but a lot of them are in these European countries.
Right.
Where there's, and that's how they get away with it, where there aren't
right.
any guns. Except, did you see, this one's probably several years old. Did you see the one in Russia where the guy is hiding inside the mailbox, and every time somebody puts a letter in, he would throw it back out?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, let me tell you this one. So the guy's hiding in the mailbox. All right.
Yeah.
Every time someone puts a letter in, he
shoves it back out.
Shoves it right back out. They're like, whoa, what was that? They pick the letter up,
right.
shove it back in, they shove it back out.
Thinking it's some poltergeist that's spitting
right.
their mail back out at them.
The next guy that comes up, all right, puts his letter in, the guy shoves it back out. He looks at it, picks it up, looks inside the box, puts his letter back in, kid spits it out again. This time, the guy picks up his letter, reaches up under his shirt, pulls out a Makarov, sticks it in the mailbox,
oh.
and fired six times.
Are you serious?
Oh, killed the guy.
Well, so listen to these people.
Yeah.
The other one, I don't know if it's the same group, but they were doing it in Central Park, and somebody pulled a gun. That guy was not carrying legally, or he was off duty at NYPD.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't understand how normal, sane people can think it's a good idea, especially in a place here like Nevada, where we
right.
have a higher percentage of concealed carriers than some other states like California or you know, New York or, you know, Maryland. But I mean, what a death wish.
Yeah, it just, that makes no sense. It's reckless. It's, I'm gonna call it what it is, it's stupid.
Well,
yeah.
And that's a good word for it. It's reckless because it's putting people in a position where it doesn't even have to be a gun. Somebody
yeah.
feels like they have no other option, and they,
you know, the best prank one I've seen, I'll tell you a good one, is these guys that they put these little, what do they call them? The unitards.
Yeah.
Except they're like three sizes too small.
No.
They put the unitards on under their clothes, and they're doing this in the inner cities. Now, this is funny, but I'm waiting for one of these guys to get killed. And they walk up to a group of, you know, inner city Utes.
Okay.
And
that could be in the commission of a crime
right.
on the corner.
And
okay.
they walk up to him, and they just start talking smack.
Oh,
and
you
he's
know
like,
what?
I'm going to hit you.
I think
I'm going to break
that.
Your leg. I'm going to punch you. And what up, son? What up, bro? Right. And, of course, what do these guys want to do? They want to fight.
Right.
So then these guys rip off their shirt and they drop their pants. They've got these unitards
no.
on. They all take off running. I'm waiting for one of these guys to end up catching a bullet in the face.
Oh, well.
From some gangster.
You interrupt the wrong drug
yeah.
you know, transaction.
They're going to go down to the White Fence territory in East L.A. or South Central L.A. and pull that.
All right. So let's talk about this concealed carrier that got his gun taken in Walmart. So authorities in Medford, Oregon, arrested a man who's accused of assaulting a 25-year-old concealed weapons permit holder in a Walmart parking lot, Walmart bathroom Thursday night, and making off with the man's legally carried handgun. The concealed weapons permit holder said he had a holstered Springfield XD 40 caliber handgun
okay.
tucked away in the small of his back. When he walked into the bathroom around 9 p.m., he was followed by the suspect, who is identified as blah, blah, blah. The criminal allegedly initially tried to grab the gun from the man's waistband, but was unsuccessful in his attempt. However, then he just simply punched the man to the ground, snatched his gun from him, and then took off.
So this brings up a couple of questions.
Yeah.
If you have a Springfield XD 40 cal tucked into the back of your waistband, if that's how you choose to carry.
It doesn't say whether it's a subcompact or the full size.
But for the sake of my argument, irrelevant.
All right.
If you've got that gun tucked in the back of your waistband, short of that thing being a Frontier flintlock, you're
yeah.
probably not going to see it, if it's even if you have a T-shirt over it. It depends on the T-shirt he's wearing.
Well,
so how did the attacker know this guy had a gun?
Was he messing with his gun the whole time?
Was he finger farting around with it? What was he doing? I mean, that's my
yeah.
question. Short of this guy being clairvoyant and having X-ray vision, how did he know this guy was carrying a gun?
Or he bent over in an aisle and the guy followed him to the bathroom.
It could be. You know, did his shirt come up? Did it imprint at all? Second thing this brings up is carrying the small of your back like that. If
yeah.
you're on your back in a ground fight,
you're not going to be able to get to your gun.
You're not going to get to that gun. So how are you carrying it?
Well, I think we should talk more about, you know, where Where are we carrying, and what are the advantages? That's the other thing I think.
The advantages and disadvantages of each carry position.
This being a lifestyle,
yeah.
How seriously are you taking where and how you're carrying? And maybe after, in the next segment, we should talk a little bit more about that.
We'll do that. So think about that while we're on this break. How are you carrying your gun? What are you using to carry your gun in your waistband, inside or outside? What type of holster you use? And we're going to discuss that when we come back. And you will be back in just a few with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. And you're back with Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3. I've always wanted to do my radio voice.
Well, you know, you're so talented at that. You always bring us in so well.
Well, thank you. Aw, that was so nice. So we're talking about kind of concealed carry lifestyle, and we want to hit a little bit on this segment, Ben, about,
well,
where do you carry, and
so
why do you carry there, and what are the advantages?
In the previous segment, we talked about this guy that got his gun taken because... Well, not because. I don't know if we know it's because. But he had the gun in the small of his back, and we talked about some of the disadvantages to that. You know, one, you said, hey, if you're flat on your back in the middle of a grappling or a fist fight, you can't grab that gun, right?
Right.
The other thing is, I'm going to be willing to bet. Let's say this guy walks up to a urinal. You know what? The small of your back is not your... It's not where you do your work, right? It's not where your workspace, so to speak, to steal a term from Travis Haley. But... You know, you think about, like, if you're going to open a jar, I'm not doing it behind my back.
No.
I'm doing it in front. You know,
very good point. That's an excellent point.
And I just, you know, think about how many times we can't scratch an itch on our back, right? Just,
yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, if this guy grabbed the gun, how well is he going to be able to retain it in the small of his back? Not very well, I don't think.
No, and not at all, especially if it's not in a holster. And there are holsters that are made for small of the back carry where you can actually carry that gun, not vertically, but horizontally.
Yeah.
But you brought up a very good point. Yeah, you don't open a jar behind your back.
Right.
And in a ground fight when you're on your back, good luck. You're not getting to that gun.
Well, so I guess the next question, you know, we're all about the lifestyle today. This is Lifestyle Saturday where we talk about our concealed carry lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So where do you carry, and I think you need to make a knowledgeable an informed decision about what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages of each chosen carry position.
Well, before you decide where you carry, you need to understand how you're going to carry that in that position that you choose. Whether if you're a right-handed shooter and you're carrying that gun at 3 o'clock on your waistband, either inside or outside the waistband holster, or if you're carrying it at 3:30, slight maybe like kidney carry, or if you're going to carry it at appendix carry. Which is more like, you know, if your belly button is 12 o'clock, appendix carry for right-handed shooters would be right about 1 o'clock.
Right.
Personally, I carry at 3 o'clock position. I carry my spare mags at 9 o'clock on my waistband. That's how I train. That's how I practice.
Right.
That's how I carry.
Well, and you have a history of, I mean, on duty, that's basically where your tools were always set, right?
Right. I'm just looking at somebody pulling up in the parking lot here. Yeah, that's sorry.
What, squirrel? Hello, Mr. ADHD.
My ADHD just kicked in.
Holy.
No, it's situational awareness, dude.
All right.
Talking about, who is this? So, yeah, you have to decide where are you going to carry. And once you decide carrying there, we need to train in that position.
Right.
Train how you're going to carry and do it. And again, like I said in the beginning of the show, we're not going out putting our gun on our hip and going out shooting tin cans. We're training. Are you, when you're training with that gun, are you getting off that line? Are you practicing moving before you shoot? Are you practicing multiple shot drills at perhaps multiple targets?
Yeah. You know what you need to... We need to have a class for weapons retention.
We do.
I don't...
I've been wanting to do that now for a long time.
I don't think enough of us have had real retention training.
Let me tell you this. It's now it can become a reality. Because, and I told you this yesterday, this is some great news for Trinity Tactical. I've got a classroom facility. And it's roughly, I'm going to say it's about 800 square feet, perhaps. It's been an absolute blessing. I hope that it's going to be ready by November, because I actually just the other day scheduled a AR-15 fundamentals course.
Rad. Okay.
So that is now becoming a reality, and I'll tell you what, weapons retention is something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and we can teach that. We'll throw down some mats on the floor, we'll move the tables out of the way, and guess what?
Some blue guns or some orange guns?
Yep, we'll get some blue guns, and we will teach weapons retention.
We should.
Because I think that's an important part of it. We go over it in the course as part of concealed carry curriculum by the state, weapons retention is part of that course. We can talk about it, but you know what? After 4 hours in the classroom, people are like, wah, 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 wah. Right. That's all they hear, right?
You got to do some hands-on force on force.
Weapons retention is definitely a hands-on skill.
I think the other thing for concealed carry, you know, open carry is a whole different topic when it comes to weapons retention. But for concealed carry, wearing the right clothes, the right holster, and I think being confident, you know, and this is because, like, you know, if you and I go out, we've been carrying long enough, I am not messing around with my gun. It is where it is. I like where it's at. I've got a belt that works. I'm not constantly hiking my shorts up. I'm not constantly touching it. That's the first step. If nobody knows you have it,
nobody knows.
Nobody's going to try and grab it.
Well,
right?
And I think that's one of the downfalls of people that are new to the concealed carry lifestyle is it's a novelty.
Right.
You know, and they want to – they're constantly touching it. They're fiddling with their shirt. They're, you know – reassuring themselves that it's there.
Still there, yeah.
You know, stop. I'll tell you, I've been carrying a concealed firearm since I'll tell you the date. I've been carrying a concealed firearm since October 17, 1986. Nice. That's how long I've been carrying a concealed firearm. And I will tell you that as uneducated as I was about carrying a concealed firearm, the day – I take it back. 2 days after graduating the police academy, we had to go to a mandatory class, orientation to the police department, and then the whole class went out for dinner afterwards. I didn't have a second gun at that time.
Yeah.
I had my duty gun, which was a 4-inch Smith & Wesson 586 blued 357 Magnum, right, with a full-size wood grip on it.
Nice.
I was wearing slacks, a shirt, and a tie. Guess where I put that weapon? I unbuttoned my shirt. I stuffed it in the front of my left waistband, and I buttoned my shirt back up.
Did you really?
I did.
That's awesome.
You know why? I'll tell you what. Because and this goes to the guy that was carrying it small of the back. You know why I did that? Because that's how I saw it done on TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You look at concealed carry on TV. What are they doing? They've got it just shoved in the back of their waistband. They've got two of them stuck in the back of their waistband.
Right.
Or they've just shoved in the front of their waistband.
You know,
don't let Hollywood teach you how to carry your gun, because they're invariably wrong.
Right. So, yeah, I think that – well, and I mean, we've talked about appendix carry also, and, like, you just got to know what the risks are.
You do.
You know, like, for me, I carry – I'm left-handed, and I'm at the – what would that be? 9 o'clock position for me. So 3 o'clock for you guys on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the drawbacks of that is it's kind of on the end of your hip, and you have more of a chance of printing. But for me – it's most comfortable there. I can get at it in the most cars. You know, I don't have to, it's not, you know, like if I'm sitting on a bench, right, it's not hanging out of the back of my pants where it would be if I was at the, let's say, 4 or 8 o'clock position, you know, where it's further back. So I feel like I make an informed decision that that's what works best for me.
Well, if you are going to choose to carry appendix, which is actually, that's a position I've been exploring. I'm thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
But if you are going to carry appendix carry, man, you got to train with it because there's a lot of risks involved.
Well, you got your femoral artery plus, you know, your junk is right there. I don't know. It's just.
Your what?
Your junk.
Did you just say junk?
That's all I can say on the air, isn't it?
I can come up with a few more. We'll have a contest.
But seriously, though, at the 3 o'clock or the 9 o'clock, depending on what, you know, if you're left-handed and your mama didn't love you, kind of a thing. You know, if I torch a round off, which heaven forbid, and I, you know, I'm very careful when I reholster, but let's say it happens. You know, potentially what's the worst that can happen? You know, I graze one down my thigh and maybe, you know, and I hit the floor or I, you know, obviously blow my pants up. You know, in that appendix position, if you accidentally torch one off, you're talking femoral artery.
Yep.
And you and I both know, and if you're not trained, and most of the time if you're in enough shock, you're not going to know how to respond, that's a quick bleed out. That's
it
a
is.
Dangerous situation.
About 4 minutes,
depending on the
wound. If it's a catastrophic wound, it's about 4 minutes.
Well, and if you're in a car... You know, let's say you're out past Fernley in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
Well, and that's assuming you're carrying a CAT tourniquet with you. If you're carrying a CAT tourniquet or an IFAC, individual first aid kit, with you for a trauma kit, you know, if you get a femoral bleed, about 4 minutes and you're unconscious.
Right.
A couple of minutes after that, you're irreversibly brain dead. So you figure 4 minutes till unconscious, you've got, that gives you a couple, maybe a minute and a half of lucidness to get that tourniquet out, get that tourniquet on that wound, and apply it.
So, I mean, that's, I guess that would be, you know, I know there's a lot of advantages to appendix, but there are some significant, you know, what would you say, downsides or disadvantages where they really demand training and familiarity with your firearm.
Yep. I've yet to have a student come out carry appendix. Haven't happened yet.
I can't do it. I'm too fat.
That's an issue with me, too, sometimes.
Sometimes. Depending on what part of the year.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm not looking forward to Thanksgiving. That's for sure. Working hard. I'm losing all this weight. Now I got Thanksgiving coming up, and I'm going to eat like a hog.
I don't like that. You know what? I don't like Thanksgiving.
No.
I don't like turkey. Like,
what?
I would much rather have – my family tries to do the Western Thanksgiving where we have tri-tip.
Blasphemy.
No way.
I killed my own turkey last year. Turkey. That was wicked.
I remember that. Turkey
that
sucks.
Was cool.
I don't like turkey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Davis is a communist.
No.
Commie. You don't like turkey.
I don't like turkey.
That's God's meat right next to bacon.
Oh, stop it. Ribeye is God's meat. Okay, not Thanksgiving.
A good ribeye.
Damn straight.
Oh, those, yeah. I love a good ribeye.
Yeah.
Who's got the best ribeye in town? Who do you think?
You know, I had an awesome one at Biscotti's, I think, before they changed their menu. Yeah, over at Peppermill.
Oh, they probably do a pan-fried.
Oh,
not fried, but pan-seared.
It had grill marks on
what's
it.
What's the steak place down in the south end of town, the Longhorn one?
I don't know.
You don't want to talk about that,
I haven't
that,
eaten
right?
there. The other good one was
ribeye, huge.
Napa Bistro made a good one, too. I went there on someone else's
you
dime,
know what I
which
miss?
Made it even better.
I miss Cattleman's down there in Washoe Valley.
Yeah.
They had a ribeye that was the size of my face.
So, yeah.
That was a good steak.
Best ribeye in town?
Yes, best ribeye.
Buy a good piece of meat, treat it properly, and cook it at your own house. Doesn't cost you an arm and a freaking leg.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. You know what? I've started to do my steaks in a pan on the stove. Oh, my God, awesome. All right, we kind of got off topic. We got away from guns, started talking about meat. It's been a great show. Again, I needed this hour. This was very cathartic.
For sure.
But we're going to close it out, and we will see you all next week. Same time, same bat channel.
That's right.
Right here at Armed and Bad Radio, KNews 107.3. Ben, say goodbye.
All right. Have a good weekend, and stay armed and stay alert.
We're out of here. Stay safe, folks. Bye.